may be seated.
I just want you to look up here for a second. You don't get much better than this. Ooh. Now, do you? They had a buy one, get one free sale at the dollar store. We had to help out. Our children are going to head out to children's church now. Toddlers are, some are already in there, but others, if you have a toddler here, they'll join you in the back and head out to the small children's church, and older children here at the front. They'll continue to worship as we can. Hey, Mike, if you don't mind, they didn't close those doors. Will you shut those this morning, please, sir? We are seeking to become an overcomers church. And so if you haven't been here in the last few weeks, we have been kind of looking at some of the things that in the world that hold us down and keep us back. They're named on these tiles, and we take a moment during worship services the last few weeks to put those things on these tiles, and there's something that's going to happen with those really uniquely in the next few weeks. But today we want to turn the page a little bit. Rather than overcoming something today, we want to be overtaken by the overcomer. So the last few weeks we've been looking at moving from being victims to being overcomers. We've laid aside evil and fear and labels and apathy and so many other things. I have the privilege, I don't know if it's a privilege, I have the ability to go through and see what's written on some of these tiles. And they have no names on them, so I don't know whose is what. But it's interesting to see all of the things that we come up against in our life and how many things we have in common, how many things are repeated by multiple people on multiple tiles. We have so much standing against us. The world is seeking to destroy us and to take our joy and to take our life, to take our peace. And yet God has called us to be overcomers, to rise up and to use what is within us to defeat the world. And so today we're going to see what that means. We're going to turn that page just a little bit. Because the Word of God says to be doers of the Word and not just hearers only. It says that in the book of James. We need to get out of our head and into our hearts. You know, sometimes we think about our problems way too much. We spend so much time thinking about how things are not going to work out instead of searching our heart and seeing what God is telling us to do. And I don't know where you are in your world, in your life right now, but that statement just came out of my mouth and hurt my feet so very bad. And Sarah wasn't in here to hear it all, or she would probably be amening and pointing fingers at me. But this is where I've been the latter part of this week. I had some news, some things came to me, and instead of trusting that God was in it, I tried to think of all the ways in which it wouldn't work. All the negative parts. And it got me into a funk the latter part of this week. Man. But folks, I know I'm not the only one. Sometimes we need to get out of our head and get into our hearts. We need to hear God. And we need to allow the overcomer to overtake us. So who is the overcomer? His name is Jesus Christ. We know that. He said, "Take heart, I have already overcome the world." Jesus Christ overcame everything the world could throw at him. He was tried and he was tempted. He even faced death head on, and nothing could overcome Jesus Christ. And he that overcame the world lives within us. And he is calling you and I to take that on and to stand up and to take the battle back to the enemy. So let's begin with a poem, right? Why not? Because your pastor always begins with poems, doesn't he? No. Y'all didn't even know I knew the meaning to that word. It's not actually a poem as much as it is a psalm. It's Psalm 51. If you have your scripture, you have it on your phone. We're going to be dancing in lots of places in scripture this morning. So bear with us, but get your thumbs ready to flip. Psalm 51, the first 12 verses read like this. "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit." Restore me. Restore my joy. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from all the things that I have done wrong. These words of David, the psalmist, are the cry of an overcomer being born. David faced things that we can't even imagine. And sometimes David didn't come through it with just perfectly. He fell into temptation. He fell into sin. But David cried out to God, "Restore me, renew me. I can't do this on my own. God, help me." And God answered him so many times. I wonder this morning if you ever cried words similar to this. Have you ever gotten into a place where you were broken by God for God? Have you ever gotten to a place where you were in a place where you couldn't do this on your own any further? You couldn't take another step. And you cried out to God and said, "I don't know what's going on. I don't know how to get out of this. All I know to do is to call upon you. God, forgive me of my sin. Restore my joy. Renew my spirit." If you've ever been in that place and you said those words, you are on the overcomer's road. You are on the road to becoming an overcomer. You have taken that first step. Because the first step for all of us is not to necessarily name what it is that we're overcoming, but to take that step of faith that says, "I cannot do this on my own." And that road ends with a life-altering encounter. How many of you would like to have a life-altering encounter? Man, wouldn't you like to be in a place where you can mark it forevermore in the story of your life that is the day that I met God face to face? That is the day that Christ spoke and I heard His voice and it changed everything from there forward. We need those life-altering encounters along the way because the road we're on beats us down and discourages us and takes our eyes off of the prize. It happens when the overcomer overtakes you. It happens when the overcomer overtakes you and swallows you up in His love. We're about to read a little bit about Moses. Moses was a sinful man. He had murdered someone. And some people say, well, it was justified. He was defending someone. They didn't see it that way. He was on the run. He was living in a foreign land on the run from the very people who raised him as an orphaned boy. They were going to kill him because he had killed someone else. And along the way, while he was in hiding, running, hiding for his life, he met a man who had a daughter. How many of our stories, she's back in here. How many of our stories of joy began, right, men, we met a man who had a daughter, right? When Moses met this man, he had a daughter, and he also got a job. He was taking care of the flocks for this man. And that day, on a very normal day, the overcomer, the Lord Himself, overtook Moses. So let's read that story out of Exodus chapter 3 this morning. Exodus chapter 3, first six verses say this: Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, "I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned." When the Lord saw that, he turned aside to see. God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then God said, "Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." And he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Moses was overtaken on a very ordinary day. He was tending the flock in the desert, and a bush was on fire. This was not an out of the ordinary thing. It was a dry area, a dry place, and things caught fire from time to time. It's nature. Lightning causes things. Heat causes things. Mischievous little people running around cause things, right? You've had children around, you know. So seeing a bush on fire was not a big deal. But Moses noticed something was different about this bush. It wasn't being consumed. It was burning, but it wasn't being consumed. And so it says in Scripture that he decided he was going to go and see why. Moses inquired. When he saw something out of the ordinary, he wanted to inquire what was behind it. What was the source? Why is this happening? Moses was overtaken on a very ordinary day by an extraordinary overcomer. God met him that day and spoke to him through that bush. And what God spoke into his life changed the trajectory of who Moses was and what he was going to do. At that moment, Moses became an instrument in the hands of God for God's people. out of an ordinary day. What can we take from this? Sometimes we have the encounters with God that change our life, not necessarily in a worship service where we're expecting it, not at a conference we've signed up to so we can expand our horizons, but at everyday normal activities, at work and at home, with the people who are around us. If we're open to what God is doing and we see how God is moving and we're inquisitive as to what is going on, why is that bush not being consumed? And we go and seek and clear out everything else and focus on what God's doing, we will hear the voice of God. It comes to us in every ordinary day opportunities. Maybe you're saying, I don't have time for these kind of things. I don't know what this is about. How do I hear the voice of God? Sometimes we just have to look around us and slow down long enough to hear. Because God is speaking to us every day, all day long, through every situation that we're in. So let's talk about David as well. David's another man who was a sinful man at different times in his life. And David was on the run. David had been destined for something big. He was already ordained to be king. And yet the king who was in power at the time wanted to kill him so he wouldn't take over. But then that king, Saul, and his son Jonathan, who happened to be David's best friend, were killed in battle. And so David has been running from Saul. And David is knowing that he's got something calling on his life that's big. And now he's lost his mentor in Saul, and he's lost his friend in Jonathan. And he is in this place of chaos because now that they're out of the way, instead of mourning them, he has to go and take leadership. His life is absolutely in frazzles. Has anyone here ever had a time in your life when it was just in frazzles? When there were 16 things going on that had to be done and you didn't know which one to start on first, right? This is where David was. But in the midst of his chaos, God helped him to experience a victory. So we want to read about that this morning in 2 Samuel chapter 6. Listen to part of his story. 2 Samuel 6, David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Baal Judah to bring up from there the ark of God, which is called the name of the Lord of hosts. Which is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, who sits enthroned on the cherubim. And they carried the ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were driving the new cart with the ark of God, and they went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel were making merry before the Lord with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals. Now down in verse 12, and it was told King David, the Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God which had been stored there. So David went and brought up the ark from the house to the city of David with rejoicing. And when those who bore the ark of the Lord had gone six steps, David sacrificed an ox and a fatted animal. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the horn. And before we read the last part, I just want to stop right here and tell you this. This was a huge deal to the people. The presence of the Lord rested in the ark. And the presence of the Lord had not been in the city, in the temple, in a place where they could all worship it in a long time. And so God had called David into this, and God had given David this blessing to go and receive the ark, bring the presence of God back to the midst of his people. 30,000 people, and they're having a big, long marching band contest, right? This is the best parade ever. They're coming back, and they're bringing this back. And so we get down into verse 20. David returned to bless his household, but Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How the king of Israel honored himself today, uncovering himself today before the eyes of his servants, female servants, as one of the vulgar fellows shamelessly uncovers himself." And David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me above your father and above all his house to appoint me as prince over Israel, the people of the Lord, and I will make merry before the Lord. I will make myself yet more contemptible than this, and I will be abased in your eyes, but by the female servants of whom you have spoken, by them I shall be held in honor." Let me break all that down for you to say this. We know the story if you've been in Sunday school ever. David became full of joy, of the Spirit of the Lord. As he is seeing this victory, as he's seeing what God has called him to, being carried out, and he's right there, he feels the presence of God. He was overtaken by the overcomer. In the midst of all the busyness and the chaos, he knew God had him. David was overtaken with joy, and then David offered, hold on, junior high boys, David offered naked praise, right? Now listen, in this place today, we do not want to seek naked praise, okay? Let me go ahead and just set that out there. That's not what we're here for. David danced so hard with joy that he didn't notice his clothes were falling off. David danced so hard in worship and praise of God that he didn't notice how far he had gone. He became completely undignified before all the other people to the point where his wife got on to him. Men, let me talk to you just for a second in this room. How many times have you worshiped with such abandon? Have you sought God with such strength that your wife had to get on to you because you got a little bit too loud or a little bit too big in your praise of God? Has it ever happened to anyone in this room? And the fact that there's no hands up should crush every man in this place. Because David was a warrior king. David was a man of men. And if we can't worship like David worshiped to the point where our wives are embarrassed to sit by us, we are missing the point. So there's a challenge. Some of you are like, is that all it takes to get her not to sit by me anymore? I will sing loud, right? Make sure your heart's right. David was overtaken with joy, with the presence of the Spirit of God, and he lost himself. And in doing so, David became an overcomer. The word overtaken means to be caught up to or passed, or to come suddenly or unexpectedly upon. Moses was overtaken unexpectedly. Moses is doing his work for the day, and all of a sudden there's a bush and it's on fire and it's not being consumed. For David, it was the joy of the Lord that caught up to him as he was doing what God had called him to do. Leading 30,000 people, making sure that all the rules were being obeyed, making sure that he sacrificed properly, taking his place as a leader in the midst of his grief, and the joy of the Lord caught up to him. What does that have to do with you and I? Well, folks, we are a lot like Moses and David. We have sin in our lives, and we are called by the same God to the same things that they were called to. And if God can catch up and overtake them, God can catch up and overtake us. And the power to become overcomers lies in being overtaken. And that is where we fall short so often. Your tile, if you filled a tile out, your tile is not the key. Simply naming it is a step in the way. We came up here, we named the things that are holding us back on these tiles. And God is going to show us physically a transformation in those things in just a few weeks. But we have to allow the overcomer to overtake us. We have to surrender. And for us to surrender, we have to remember, first, that the promise of the overcomer is already inside of you. The promise of the overcomer already resides inside of you. You just have to unlock it. You just have to surrender to it. So let's see what that promise is. In Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 31, the prophet wrote these words, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them out of the by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. We have what Moses and David didn't have. We have this new covenant. They didn't. This new covenant is Christ Jesus. He died for our sins, and his Spirit resides within us, anyone who calls upon his name. We have God's word written on our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We didn't have to be taught God's word. God writes his presence and his grace on our lives. And we have the grace that flows down the cross. So many times we say we have the grace that flowed down the cross of Christ. You know what? That's so wrong. Because that grace is still flowing down that cross, and it's still wrapping itself all around our lives. That grace is still alive. We have what Moses and David didn't have. And if God could overtake them, how much more can Christ overtake us? Because he is with us every day, waiting for that moment when we are broken enough to say, God, I need you right now. Overtake me so that I may become an overcomer. In Matthew, we talk about that covenant just a little bit more. And you know these words. Jesus says, "This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for your forgiveness, for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins." We talk about that every time we come to the table and have Holy Communion. We lift the cup. Remember these words. Do you understand that that blood forces our sin tiles that are in this pile, those sins that we wrote down that are holding us back from the life God called us to? It takes those sin tiles and it forces them to surrender their hold on us. Do you understand that the blood of Christ means that sin has no power over your life anymore? Not even a little. You have been set free. And yet so many of us still drag our sin around and hold on to it like an anchor because we forgot the power of the blood. This new covenant has immense power in our lives. In Galatians 3:27, it says that all who've called upon Christ have put on Christ. And because we've put on Christ, we remember from last week or so when we talked about fear, that we have been filled not with a spirit of fear, but with a spirit of power. So I'm going to ask you a question this morning. What are you afraid of? What do you have to fear? The world can do nothing to you because you're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. So why are you scared? I used the men as an example a while ago. We don't want to raise our hands and be big in worship because somebody might see us or it might be seen as a weakness. What are you scared of? That some other man of God in church is going to look at you and make fun of you? I dare him. My God's big enough to take care of that battle. Are you scared that your wife and children might actually follow you in worship? Yeah, God forbid that you might be the leader rather than your wife or your children. What do we have to fear? The tiles up here that represent fears, things that we're scared of, that are holding us back, they are powerless. And we remember that Hebrew word that we talked about, the warrior's cry, rock kazak. Can you say that? Rock kazak. Be strong and courageous. Just as God commanded Joshua, God commands us. We don't have any reason to fear, for God has destroyed everything that stands against us. And our God is bigger than anything before us. When we put on Christ, we put on the ability to stand against our fear. Then in 2 Corinthians 3, verses 3 through 6, it says that we are qualified ministers of the new covenant. Paul's talking about himself and those who are working with him, but that translates into us today because those words are there for us as well. We are qualified ministers of the new covenant. And we read through here, I find tiles where people say, you know, I don't surrender, I don't follow what God's called me to do, I'm slow, I'm reluctant. A couple of people have put apathy as some of the things that they're trying to overcome. Indecision. Folks, your daily life is full of godly possibilities. All you have to do is open your eyes and see where He's leading you. He's not leading you astray. He's not leading you to destruction. God is leading you into life. He's leading you into victory. And so we can get past our indecision and realize that we are qualified ministers. I love it when people say, what do you do for a living? And I say, well, I'm a minister. And they're like, ooh, wow, that's a tough job. Guess what? You're all ministers. I'm just the lead minister of the ministers in this church. Every one of you are called to do the same thing that I do. I'm just not going to give you the microphone on Sunday morning. Because otherwise, I mean, you all say I only work 2 days a week, Sundays and Wednesdays, right? But you do it. You do this. This is your job. Because Christ is in you, it's your job to share Him with others. You're qualified, and it's the blood of Christ from that new covenant that qualifies you. So are you a great public speaker? Neither was Moses. Are you a perfect man, perfect woman who leads a sinful life? No, neither was David. And yet, they were overtaken by the overcomer and used for great things for the kingdom, and so will you. So how do we get there? We reach out with open hands. You know what open hands signify? If they're like this, it can be surrender. When a child reaches out, hold me. When a teenager reaches out, give me money. You know? Bless me. I need something from you. I need you. Too often we reach out with closed fist. And we say with our voice, and we say somewhere from deep and within our heart, God, I need you. But what are we holding on to? We're holding on to our towel. We're holding on to those things that hold us back. We're holding on to our pride. We're holding on to thoughts of others and their opinions of us. God, I need you, but I don't want you to embarrass me. God, I need you, but I don't want you to ask me to go too far. God, I need you, but... And God is saying, if you want to be an overcomer, and if you want to be in a place where I can bless you and use you, you got to open your hands. And you got to let go of the things that the towels say, and you got to let go of the things that people around you are saying, and you've got to grab hold of the promises of the overcomer. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you always. The things that I've done are small in comparison to the things that you will do in my name. These are the promises of the overcomer that we have laid on the table and walked off and left. And we wonder why we walk around like victims instead of walking around like victors. Open your hands and receive what God has for you. Open your hands and surrender what you're holding on to. Key to being an overcomer is to surrender in faith. Our memory verse for this series is 1 John 5. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is our victory that overcomes the world, our faith. If you believe that Jesus Christ is who he said he is, if you believe that God loves you and desires you, if you believe that he's forgiven you of your sins, you have what it takes to overcome the world. It's faith. It's the most powerful thing that we possess. Some days we need to take time to peer into the bush and to hear the voice of God call us into an adventure. Moses looked at the bush that day. He had no clue he was fixing to be called on an adventure that would lead him to be the leader of God's people. He just went up going, why is that bush burning? Sometimes we need to pause and we need to say, why does that song that I keep hearing on the radio mean so much to me? What are those words speaking that mean so much to me? Sometimes we need to stop and say, why is this verse going through my head over and over and over? My family went and watched the movie yesterday, I Can Only Imagine. That great song was, this man wrote that song over a 10-minute period it actually came to be. But for years and years and years, as he was walking through life with God, he wrote a simple phrase, I Can Only Imagine, in his journal. Imagine, around pictures, around things. He didn't understand what was going on until that one day when it started coming together, and he looked back through the journal and he kept seeing this phrase, and suddenly he realized God was speaking to him to write a song. I don't know if you've heard of that song. It's only the most popular, most played Christian song of all time. Some days we need to peer into the bush and hear the voice of God. Most days we need to uncross our arms and allow our mouth to point up instead of down and praise our God in the most undignified of ways. And some of you know exactly who I'm talking to. Some of you know that I'm talking directly to you because you enter into worship with God with your hands crossed so that he can't pierce your heart, with your frown on your face instead of your smile, because you just hate to be here and you're hoping this thing will get over quickly, right? That's what you look like. Anyone in the choir? Is that what they look like some mornings? Why aren't we full of joy like David? Do you know that when we walk through those doors and we come down this aisle, it is just like we are carrying the Ark of the Covenant because we are bringing the presence of God into this house. And yet we come into this house like it is a burden and not a joy. We miss the mark. And somewhere along the way, this denomination called United Methodist missed the mark bigger than any, because we were once known as the people full of joy, and now we're known as the people who can't find joy, and something along the way has to change. It's time to go back to who we are. And to worship the way David did and be undignified. This morning, praying before the choir, Kim said, this morning may we dance before the Lord. What is wrong with dancing before the Lord? Get out in the aisle. Look at all the space we have up front. If you really want to get undignified, look at all the space we have right here in the midst of our worship team. It's a place for you to dance before the Lord. Now, some of you need to check yourself in a mirror before you go dancing before the Lord and make sure that it is public ready, right? Before we can overcome, we have to be willing to be overtaken. And the easiest way to be overtaken, the safest place to be overtaken by the power of the Holy Spirit, is in God's church, surrounded by God's people. Because here, no one's going to judge you for getting a little loud or dancing a little bit too big or raising your hands in worship or shouting, Hosanna. Here, you're safe. This is the place where we try. This is the place where we allow God to overtake us so that we can go through those doors out into the world as overcomers. Today's the day we reach up, reach out with open hands and take on to God. In other words, what you and I need to believe in order to become overcomers, we need to believe that we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? It's not because of what you've done, and it's not because of what you're going to do. It's only by the blood of Jesus Christ that you are overcomers. But because of the blood of Jesus Christ, you can't be anything else but an overcomer. It's time to live into it. In every aspect of our life, it is time to be overtaken by the overcomer, consumed by the Holy Spirit, consumed by the presence of Jesus Christ. Because, folks, the world around us is not seeing enough Christ in us to be interested in being a part of what we're doing. And it's not because Jesus is any smaller today than he was thousands of years ago. It's because the version of Jesus we carry around is smaller than it was just a generation ago. People say about Grace Point when they first come, this is a place that loves people. I felt love the first time I stepped through the doors. Well, there's a generation of people that started that process in this church. And some of us younger generation, it's time for us to step up and carry it forward and make it grow. And continue to be overcomers, boldly sharing the presence of God so that other people will come in and feel what we felt here that drew us here, invite their friends. Folks, it's not so that our church can get bigger, it's so that the kingdom can get bigger. Because our desire is for Christ to come back, and Christ isn't going to come back until there's a chance for everyone to turn and know him, and our job is to prepare for his coming. So let's get to work. Challenge question for the day is this: do you believe that God is enough? Do you believe that he has set you free from your sin? Do you believe that you are forgiven in Christ's name? Do you believe that you've held onto these tiles long enough and it's time to overcome the stuff that's holding you back? Do you believe that there's more that God has for you than the way you're living right now? If so, today is the day to let it go. Today's a day to invite the Holy Spirit to overtake you. Today's a day to become undignified before the Lord and just worship him. Today is a day to bend your knee and to break your pride and say, God, I need more of you. I want to be an overcomer. I want to be used for your kingdom, but I can't do this alone. As our praise team comes this morning, they're going to lead us in a kind of an altar call type song. The altar rails are open, but guys, everywhere we are in this room is a place where we can encounter Jesus Christ. There's nothing special or fancy or magical about this place up there. Where God wants to encounter us today is right here. And his call for us is this: come as you are. David wasn't perfect. Moses wasn't perfect. You're not perfect. God doesn't want perfect people. God wants all people in the state they are to come before him. So come as you are and answer the call. He is calling you to something bigger. He is calling you to something deeper. He's calling you into a blessing and a victory. We got to listen for his voice. We got to hear him. That bush is burning. It's not being consumed. That's great to look at. This word that's been given to you today is good to hear. But if you're not hearing the voice of God, you're missing him. Listen for his voice and then surrender your life. Whether it be asking for God to be your Savior for the first time or recommitting your life or just saying, God, I know you're here. I know you're here, but I've been holding on too much. Today's a day for us to have our hands open and lifted in surrender. And then to ask to be overtaken. And as the Holy Spirit moves through this place and overtakes us today, we will become overcomers by the blood of Christ for his glory and his kingdom that has no end.